Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for coming along on a busy Tuesday afternoon. I'm Jonathan Lewis, and I'd like to welcome you to this seminar given by two professors from Finland, from the University of Tampere, Ari-Veikko Antiroikko and Pekka Valkama. And they're going to talk to us about the new regionalism in Finland and other Nordic countries. I think they're going to talk one after the other for a total of perhaps an hour or so, and we should have plenty of time for questions afterwards. And perhaps I should say that Ari-Veikko has an existing connection with Hitotsubashi. You visited here 3 or 4 years ago, I believe, as a guest of Professor Yazawa, who's also with us today. And then I, in turn, was taken very good care of in Tampere last month by Ari-Veikko. I think there's a good chance that we will start to do some joint research together, especially in the adoption of information technologies and the use of information technologies by local governments in Finland and East Asia. So now I'd like to ask Ari-Veikko to start by giving us your lecture.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. And I have to say that I'm very, very happy to be here. And I have good memories of Hitotsubashi while we were here before, visiting at the time Professor Yazawa. So the topic of the day is new regionalism in Finland and other Nordic countries. It is a phenomenon that is more and more important in all developing countries that suffer to streamline their public administration or administrative machineries to meet the challenges of globalization, etc. And that is really visible thing in countries like Finland. We really are streamlining our administrative machineries to be more efficient in service production. Well, that's the main goal, I would say. It's not so much about democracy, for instance. It's more and more about efficiency in public administration. And then the context. Nordic countries. It includes 5 countries: Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and then Finland and Iceland. And Sweden, Norway, Denmark are sort of major Scandinavian countries. Iceland is a small island, and so in that sense it's an exception in many ways. Finland, again, is also different from other Nordic countries because culturally we are different from other Nordic countries. We don't speak same kinds of Nordic language as they do in Sweden, Norway and Denmark, for instance, and so on. And even if we think about big politics, we were about 100 years under the rule of Russian Empire, even if, yes, we were also under the rule of Sweden before that. So we have that kind of close connection to Sweden as well. And what the Nordic countries are known for, it's welfare societies. That's very characteristic feature of those countries. And that's also why we are so keen on developing our public service systems, because they are so vital part of the functioning of whole society. And we have a strong cooperative tradition in all these countries, which means that the government, the labor unions and the associations of big corporations negotiate important matters and try to, in that way, maintain the balance of society and some sort of harmony in the society, consensus thinking, etc. And this leads to another feature of Nordic countries: social capital. High level of social capital is one of the characteristic features of our societies. And this is something that is shared by all Nordic countries. And the same goes with transparency. In all global rankings, as to social capital, transparency, etc., all Nordic countries are among the leading countries in the world. And it's an interesting question, why is it so? They are homogeneous societies, small societies, etc. So we had a very good preconditions for very transparent governance systems, high level of social capital. But still, it is an interesting thing, even globally, that they are so highly ranked, all these countries, in this respect. And another thing that is shared by all these countries is strong local self-government, long history of local self-government, and the essential role of local authorities in societies, and especially in providing welfare services. So that is also why discussion about new regionalism is very, very important in Nordic countries. Then a couple of extra points. These countries are very technologically developed countries. Nokia comes from Finland, Ericsson comes from Sweden, for instance. Both are leading telecommunications corporations, and so on. And again, all these countries, and especially Sweden and Finland, are very competitive countries, which means that, for instance, in the rankings of World Economic Forum, Finland has been the number one, and Sweden has been number three or something for several years, etc. Of course, we should be a bit reserved as to any of these kind of rankings. They depend so much on criteria, etc. use, but still, it is true that Nordic countries are a kind of group of their own, with very efficient public administration, very competitive economy, which make them interesting cases in the age of global competition. But let's go forward then. We go briefly through the aspects of local government and regionalization in Nordic countries. And I refer only to very few points concerning each country in order to keep the presentation short. First, Sweden. They have nearly 9 million inhabitants there in Sweden, and which makes them biggest country in Scandinavia. And Sweden is a member of the EU. It joined the EU at the same time as Finland in the mid-90s. They had 21 county councils and 290 municipalities, which makes the average size of municipality something like 30,000 people, which means that in Scandinavian perspective, the average size of local authority, if measured by population, is quite high, because in all other Nordic countries, it's much lower. And what they did, actually, was after the Second World War, from 50s to 79, they decreased the number of municipalities dramatically, from about 1,000 local authorities to about 300. So actually, what we are now discussing in other Nordic countries was addressed in Sweden much earlier. That's why they don't have pressure to merge municipalities. And then Norway, as to its size and the structure of local government, Norway is very similar to Finland. They have about 4.6 million people there. But what makes Norway a special case among Nordic countries is its huge oil revenues. That's really the thing that matters there. It has affected the whole structure of society in a very interesting way. And I think that is also part of the reason why they are not members of the European Union. They have too much money, which the European Union would be very pleased to use if they'd be the member. So they have so far at least stayed aside. They have 19 counties and 431 municipalities, which are called kommun, like in all Scandinavian countries. They have also reduced the number of municipalities since the 60s, but still the average size is quite low. It's 9,000 inhabitants per municipality. So it's very close to what we have in Finland, for instance. And they have, as much as we have, also pressures to merge municipalities and in that sense increase the efficiency of local government and the efficiency in providing local public services. And their idea is that these municipal mergers should be done on a voluntary basis. And then we come to Denmark. It's a country with some 5.4 million people. And Denmark is located in the continental Europe. And for instance, it became the member of the European Union earlier than Sweden and Finland. So in this respect, it has its own path. And Denmark choose the kind of policy of municipal mergers a couple of years ago. So they have already decided about structural reform that they're going to implement in 2007, which means that they will reduce the number of counties, 13 counties, into 5 regions, and 270 municipalities into 99 municipalities, which means that the average size of local authority will increase tremendously into some 50,000 inhabitants per municipality. So what they did is actually to rely on economies of scale by merging municipalities, which is their idea of how to increase the efficiency of providing public services at local level. So that reform has already been decided. And now Finland. We're facing the same challenges as other Nordic countries, but our background is very different. Finland is a country with a little bit more than 5 million people, 5 million inhabitants. As said, it differs from other Nordic countries quite a lot and in many respects. We have 20 regions, what we call maakunta. We have 77 sub-regions, which originally were kind of statistical territorial units. We call them seutukunta. And we have 432 municipalities that we call kunta. And simply, we have very strong pressure to merge municipalities. The basic line of argument is that our municipalities are too small to be able to carry their functions in the competitive environment and in the environment in which there is less and less resources available for collective consumption. And that's why we have going on a kind of municipality and service structure reform, which is going on at the moment, and they should make the very important decisions during this year, 2006, concerning our structure of local government. Then about the core topic of this lecture. We refer to new regionalism. And to put it bluntly, regionalism can be defined as an ideology that favors regional level in the system of territorial governance. And what we mean by new regionalism is two things. First, it is new in the sense that it emerged quite recently in the 90s. But in another sense, it is also new regionalism in the sense that it is not about classical regionalism that is based on elected regional government. That is not the case, but rather that we rely on more diverse forms of regionalization, which means various kinds of regional bodies, sub-regional arrangements, and intermunicipal cooperation. So that is what we mean by new regionalism in Finland. And as said, this kind of movement actually can be seen also in other countries. So it's not only specifically Finnish or even Nordic phenomenon. And then if we use the term regionalization in this particular sense, it means factual strengthening of regions in the system of territorial governance, which, and this is important, of course, terminologically, is different way of using this concept than what they do in international politics. Because in international politics, it usually refers to macro-regionalization, like formation of macro-regional institutions, such as European Union or NAFTA or ASEAN or some others. Okay, and dimensions of regionalization. As said, we can speak of macro and micro-regionalization. And we focus here on micro-regionalization, which is that we discuss the territorial units which operate within national governments. And then there is de facto regionalization and de jure regionalization. The first one about the factual development and the latter one about formal agreements. And then there is institutional versus dynamic aspect of regionalization. Institutional is the one that is decided and implemented by mostly public sector authorities or organizations. And the dynamic one relates to those aspects of regionalization that relate to private sector actors, like corporations or even individuals, as to their consumption behavior, etc. And then there is downwards regionalization and upwards regionalization, which means that the first one is about when the national government, for instance, transfers some functions to regional level. And the latter one, upwards regionalization, is when local authorities, for instance, transfer some functions to regional level. And last dimension, we may make a difference between factual process, which we call regionalization, and then the ideology, which is called regionalism. And then to illustrate the aspects of regionalization, we can say that we focus, in the case of Finland, the upwards regionalization and also institutional aspects of regionalization. And now if we think about the basic models, it would be that state transfers some functions to regional level, or that local authorities transfers some functions to regional level. But actually, in most of the cases, we have the kind of negotiated order here that states, in many cases, designs the framework within which local authorities then decide about the form of implementation of how the regionalization is done. And here we have three examples. The rescue service reform we did a couple of years ago was the kind that the state actually decided that rescue services will be transferred from local authorities to sub-regional or, well, let's say regional districts. But as the implementation, the state just ordered that local authorities must make agreements between each other how to organize the rescue services. So they didn't dictate the development, but they set up certain framework with which to go forward. The other example in which state provided the framework is regional government of Kainuu, which is a special formation in a sparsely populated area where, for the first time in history, we actually created regional government, elected regional government. And this is a special experiment. Pekka is going to tell more a little later. And the third example here about this negotiated order, if we may call it that way, is Seutu project. And it was set up by the Ministry of Internal Affairs to foster regional cooperation. But it was again based on voluntary participation of local authorities to cooperate within this Seutu project. Seutu means sub-region. And then there is various forms of intermunicipal cooperation, which is more voluntary and more about what local authorities want to do in this area. And then we have two special creations, regional councils and sub-regions. So to conclude, new regionalism in Finland. Finnish government is known as incremental reformer. Our reforms are piecemeal and pragmatic, and our approaches in public sector reforms are very targeted and they are very cautious, which means that we usually do quite an incremental changes through our reforms. And the same goes now with regionalization. And as said, new regionalism has a vital role in public sector reforms in present-day Finland. And another important feature is that regionalization has both top-down forms and bottom-up forms. So it is also led by state-led projects, experiments and reforms, but there is also a very strong aspect of voluntary intermunicipal cooperation. And now my colleague Pekka is going to continue with explaining a couple of concrete aspects of regionalization in Finland.
Thank you very much. It's also very nice to be here, and I express my thanks for Jonathan inviting us to here. So I let you know some examples of regionalization in Finland. There are many projects going on, many reforms going on, and I try to tell shortly and simply about these reforms and how they make these new regional government administrative machinery in the new level. So I start with my illustration. It's here in the background that the Finnish public administration is quite simple. We have this central administration, intermediate level, and local level. Three levels of administration. In the central administration, we have there the ministries and central state agencies. And in the local level, we have local governments, which are the democratic units. We have local elections and so on. But also in the local level, we have a state administration at local level. So one good example of that kind of administration is the police services. Police services are run by the state government, and they have offices at the local level. So it's out of the local government control. It's controlled by the state government. And this regionalization is happening here in the intermediate level. And according our long history, we have divided this intermediate level for two parts, so that one part is taking care of the state administration. State have some offices in the regional level, and those offices are typically, they take care of the environment protection and also road maintenance and few services related by employment. And the other part of the intermediate level, we have there these joint authorities, which is quite a special form of administration. Joint authorities are creatures made by local governments, so that the many local governments establish together joint authority. And our first case about this regionalization is concerning about these joint authorities that we created regional councils 1994, and they are compulsory joint authorities, so that every local government need to be member of this regional council. And altogether, we have 19 plus one, this Ahvenanmaa, which is autonomous region between Finland and Sweden. It's a very special case. I have a map here to show you. And altogether, we have 19 regions, 19 regional councils. But this special case is located between Finland and Sweden here, small island, which is autonomous region in Finland. And it's a Swedish-speaking region, because the main language in our country is Finnish. But this island and the small islands around it got its autonomy administration soon after Finland got its independence 1917, because Finland and Sweden was disputing about the ownership of this island. And we created these regional councils in order to organize regional planning and also to promote regional development. And important background fact was that we was preparing our forthcoming membership of European Union. And we needed also some kind of instrument, some kind of administrative machinery, how to give and allocate European Union funding for the regions. So these kind of regional councils were needed also for the European Union purposes. But still I want to emphasize that the members of regional councils are nominated by local governments, so that the Finnish citizens, we cannot elect members who are working in the, or acting, or making decisions in the regional councils. So they are nominated by local governments. That's why they are very far away from the citizens. Behind these 19 regions, there are a long history of cultural things, so that we have different kind of identity in different regions of the country. So people have different dialect in different regions of the country. And geography is a little bit different in the North Finland, in the west part of the country, and so on. And also in some areas in the west part of the country, there is a small minority where the people are speaking Swedish as their mother language. So one of those 90 regions was created for the Swedish-speaking people who are living in the very narrow area of the coastal area. And there has been also, before these regional councils, there has been compulsory joint authorities in all these 19 areas. Compulsory joint authorities in order to take care of hospitals. So the whole healthcare system is taken care of by local governments. But the primary healthcare, family doctors, are hired by local governments. But the hospitals are too demanding for the
local governments. That's why they created joint authorities in order to run hospitals. So this was the first case of regionalization in Finland, and we have a second case here. We established so-called sub-regions in 1994. And these are certain kind of supplementary units. And I think that the most people, Finnish people, even don't clearly understand in which sub-region they are living or what kind of member local governments are within the sub-region where they are living. Like in my case, it was only 2 years when I found out that what kind of local governments are belonging to my sub-region where I'm living. Because this kind of unit is made mainly because of the statistical purposes. European Union is giving funding for the regions which are not so highly developed, and they want to measure the differences between the areas and the regions. And they needed that kind of information, so they created that kind of unit subregions. You had that amount of the subregions there before, something like 78 subregions altogether. And what it comes to forms of organization of subregions, I need to say that there is a huge variety of organizing activities of sub-regions. So some sub-regions, they only organize meetings so that local mayors of local governments get together and meet each other and make some coordination of policies. But it's very informal way to taking care of the things of sub-regions. And like in my own sub-region, Tampere sub-region, they established new joint municipal authority, which is new organization started this year, and it will start to take care of the interest of this sub-region things. But some cases they also establish companies or associations or even the foundations to promote the interests of sub-regions. Usually sub-regions don't have many functions, but the main thing is that they have some interests, so that they try to collect state investments for the sub-regions, or they try to attract private capital to make investment for that sub-region. And from the point of view of local citizens, you can easily understand it's very difficult to have a conception what my sub-regions are really doing, what is really the main activities of my sub-region, because the organizational forms are so different. And at the same time, they can use the joint municipal authority form, but they can also have companies. And joint municipal authority is one part of public administration. So it's the public for the everybody. I can go to the office and ask the documents, and they have to show the documents for me. But when I go to visit in the company, there is the secrets of the businesses, and it's not allowed it for the audience to walk in and to ask, please make your things public. And this is causing problems for the citizens to understand what kind of new activities are there really going on. Then we have a third case of regionalization in Finland. And this we call this Seutu project, started in the 2000. And it was launched by the Ministry of Interior. And actually it began 2002. And the main idea of this project is to support cooperation between local governments in every sub-region, so that the ministry thinks that local government don't do enough mutual cooperation. And that's why they wanted to introduce a special project. And they made a special law for this project. And also they want to experiment different ways to make decisions, new forms for decision making. Maybe they want to test what kind of organizational form would be the suitable for the administration of sub-region. And in the first phase, they selected 8 sub-region for this project. And after a couple of years, they supplemented this group by 7 new sub-projects. So altogether, 15 projects are going now in different areas. And this is a very good example of regionalization. We established that kind of fire and rescue services for the regions, so that there is a long history of fire and rescue service run by the local governments. But they wanted to make this service more effective, and they wanted to make services available in every case, so that if there will be big accidents in the night time and so on, they wanted to raise the standard of the service by pooling the resources together, creating these service regions. But one interesting thing in this reform was that they established 22 new rescue service areas. So it's not equal with those regional councils. We have 19 plus 1 regional councils, but now we have 22 rescue service areas. So it's also, again, confusing for the citizens to understand what kind of regions we actually are having. And it was compulsory for the local governments to make a mutual agreement how to take care of this new service and rescue services in the region. So it is still, the service are still maintained by the local governments, but it is a new regional administrative system who is taking care of the organization of rescue and fire services. So if we look this reform from the point of view of ordinary citizens, I think that they couldn't notice any big difference in before and after this reform. But they have made a survey among the fire people, and many fire people are nowadays thinking that this service is not anymore so suitable for the local governments. Actually, this service should be maintained by the state government, like the police service. So that's an actual thing that they are considering to move this service for the state administration. And like Ari mentioned for you about this regional government experiment in Kainuu, so I will show you. The Kainuu region is located here in the eastern part of Finland. And I have also the second map. This map illustrates unemployment level in the Nordic countries. And this brown areas are having the most highest unemployment level in the Nordic countries. And you see that the Kainuu is here. so that they are having very high unemployment level. Somewhere 20% of people are without work. And they were really worried about their future. And when the Prime Minister Paavo Lipponen visited there, the former Prime Minister Paavo Lipponen visited in that region, they found out that something new has to be done. And after that, the things go ahead very quickly and they make a new law when they decided to experiment this regional government. It started, it's working at the early part of 2005. And what is the special in this experiment is that the first time in the Finnish history the members of regional government are elected by regional citizens, not anymore nominated by local governments. They are elected by the regional citizens. So that this unit is really the democratic unit. And in that poor area, local governments are not anymore so capable to maintain services, so they started to shift the responsibility of the services from local governments to this regional government. And this is experiment for 10 years. So they will make a follow-up study what will be the effects and the results of this experiment. And the experiment will last 10 years. Case number 6. And this is the most actual thing. And this is maybe the most biggest thing. Municipality and the service structure reform. All these measures, what I have gone through in this my presentation, according to understanding of the Ministry of Interior, has not been enough, so that still the big reform is needed. And this reform might be the final solution for the problems of the local governments, because we are facing the aging society. And at the same time, there is a lack of financial resources to upkeep the service level and even more to build up new services for the elderly people. At least our political elite is believing that the average size of local governments is too low. And that's why mergers of local governments are needed. And the leading political parties are having the dispute what need to be the average size of municipality in the future. And I think that nobody will not actually know what will be the result of this reform, because anything has not yet decided. It's the hot political issue in this summer and next autumn. But I think that everybody is sure that there will be mergers, many mergers of local governments. But one of the leading parties is also saying that compulsory mergers cannot be accepted. So they need to be voluntary mergers. Of course, government can give financial incentives for local governments who will decide to merge each other. And there is my case number 7, intermunicipal cooperation. So if I would like to illustrate this kind of form of regionalization, I would like to let you know that when I have discussed with my friends who studied together with me at the same time, local government studies, and nowadays they are working as mayors in the local governments. And I asked them, what are you doing nowadays there in the local government? They let me know that the most of the time they consume by having discussions with the neighboring local governments. so that the mayor don't spend time anymore in the city hall. He have to go outside of the local government to take care relations with the other local governments. And the many, many small grassroots level activities are happening in within this umbrella of intermunicipal cooperation. So it's mostly voluntary basis behind this kind of activity. And the classical way to do it is to establish joint municipal authorities, but nowadays many local governments think that it's too bureaucratic way to take care of the cooperation. And it has been the central reason why the number of intermunicipal companies is nowadays increasing. And also they think that if we use companies, we can invite also a private capital to cooperate together with us. And I will give one example. It was about from the healthcare services. They wanted to create new, more effective hospital. And usually all the hospitals are run by the joint local authorities. But in this case, they wanted to have a new idea how to make operations. And the new idea was available in Germany. But the German people weren't willingness to give free access for the expertise of this new way to make operations. They wanted to have the ownership also. So they established a new company, and the local governments are the shareholders, but also some German partners are shareholders. And now that hospital is taking care of the some important operations, and it's totally different compared to joint municipal authority or joint local authority form, which has been the classical way to upkeep the public services. And here are many examples of beside the healthcare services, cultural activities. If I will let you know that our capital, city of Helsinki, are producing many cultural services. They are the services, art exhibitions, and so on. And they are very expensive to maintain that kind of services. And that's why just now Helsinki is discussing with the neighboring local governments that they should also contribute for that upkeeping, that kind of services, to give financial support for the Helsinki, because the opera houses there and many, many important theaters are located in there. And of course, audience are coming everywhere, but only Helsinki is paying the money for those services. These are just small examples. I could pick up this transportation, that in the capital region, traffic jams are very, very actual, and they want to increase the public transport systems, and they have created a special joint local authority which will produce services for commuting people who will come to work from the neighboring local governments to work in the capital area. And that kind of transportation service is not available anywhere else in the country, but only in the capital region. And the small local governments are especially making a cooperation within these industrial development activities. It's very important for the rural local governments. So I could say many, many new activities are happening. And how the ordinary people are facing this phenomenon, so that once they have taken care of their things, in the local office. But in the other day, when they go to visit there, the office might have been moved for the other local government because of this regionalization. No more services available in the local government. It's in the regional level. And it's very, very difficult to know that where certain service is available. So that they need to really to follow announcements made by local governments that how availability of different service is changing. I think I don't have any more cases here, so here are some conclusions from these cases. Like I told you that we are facing the aging society problem. At the same time, young people are moving out from the local and rural governments. They move to study in the cities and they will not return back for those areas. So there is a limited capacity of human capital in the many rural local governments. And there is lack of tax base also in the rural local governments. So they want to increase the capacity of human capital and financial capital by shifting duties to the regional level. And also the second aim of these reforms is to increase efficiency of local government. And this means, of course, they try to achieve scale of economics. So that the general focus of discussions and reforms are now on the regional level and the sub-regional level. And like we used to have in the 70s, 60s, 70s and 80s, we created many new services to local level, primary school, healthcare centers, it's also guaranteed for everybody, for every family to have a place from the nursery for the children. But these kind of services are now moving for the regional level, so that if, good example, if I will need a medical treatment in the night time. In the most of the cases, it's not available in my own local government. I need to travel for the regional level, for the neighboring local government. And there is this kind of tension between the merges and the cooperation of local governments. Some people say that we need merges in order to achieve the scale of economics. But the other people, they reply for that we can achieve the scale of economics if we make cooperation. So there has been, within the couple of years, there have been many merges, voluntary merges, and more merges are coming. But I believe also that this cooperation of local governments will increase also. It's not easy to find any stable final solution for this problem. So that I think that there are only these kind of incremental solutions, like Ari told for you, that we can resolve problems in one region, but we will face new problems in the other regions. And is this regionalization development, is it compulsory for the local governments? Is it compulsory for the public service or is it voluntary? We are also discussing about these things. And the latest discussions when we left Finland in order to come to Japan, we were discussing about the compulsory cooperation within the city districts, in the big city districts, like in the capital region and in the other big cities, that we need to have more compulsory cooperation of local governments. And the smaller local governments, they might have an opportunity to voluntarily increase cooperation of local governments. And that, this tension number three has been very, very long dispute. Should the regional level of administration, should it be democratic in the meaning that the members of the regions, regional councils should be elected by the regional citizens, or is it enough that we have only these appointed bodies so that the local governments, local councils can appoint members of the regional councils? And this Kainuu experiment has been the first one when we have used these elected members of regional administration. And that's why there is more pressure to expand elected membership of regional councils. But there is not any easy solutions in these questions, because you will easily understand that this is also a question about efficiency. We think that if we have appointed bodies, it's more efficient. We don't need to organize elections and so on. So thank you very much for your attention. These quite complicated reforms, and I hope that you could make questions to clarify some things from my presentation.